You are listening to a show on the Radio Nostalgia Network, which is also a member of the new Blueberry Network at blueberry.com. That is BLUBRRY.com. Welcome once again to Big Band Serenade. It's where we meet every week to enjoy the music of the big band and to remember. So sit back and let's enjoy the memories of the big band era. Welcome to the Big Band Serenade. You've just listened to Glenn Miller performing one of America's great composers of popular songs, Hoagy Carmichael. Our program today will feature a Tony Thomas interview with Hoagy Carmichael and some of his great musical compositions. If you'd like to know more about Hoagy, go to his official site at www.hoagy.com. Now let's begin with our interview by Tony Thomas.
In a quiet and seemingly effortless way, Hoagy Carmichael has contributed mightily to the development of the American popular song. There's a tone and a color to his music that marks it as indigenously American. A kind of bluesy, smoky, genteel jazz, a product of the Midwest in the mid-20s. The man who wrote the world's most popular pop song, Stardust, has written a string of others too. The mention of any one of them usually brings a raised eyebrow. Oh, did he write that? Well, there are the ballads that always find their way into the supper club repertoires. Skylark, Two Sleepy People, I Get Along Without You Very Well, The Nearness of You, Blue Orchids. But it's the lazy, bluesy songs that are uniquely Carmichael. Small Fry, Lazy Bones, Up a Lazy River, Old Buttermilk Sky, Old Rockin' Chair, Georgia on My Mind. and a few like Hong Kong blues that only sound really right when they're sung by the composer himself. There are precious few songwriters who are also good performers. Hoagie is a singer, pianist, and occasionally an actor, but always in a very personal manner. The image of the slightly built, laconic, drawling, sleepy-looking man is very much a part of his music. If Hoagie is not as much in evidence today, it's possibly because, as a well-heeled 64-year-old, he has no need to be ambitious, possibly because tastes in popular music have changed in recent years. The music publishers, the A&R men of the record business, the jukeboxes, and the disc jockeys have somehow bypassed the veteran American songwriters. So what does Hoagie do with his time?
At the present time, I'm collecting coins.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? But it's a nice hobby. Still playing golf and taking little jobs here and there.
Are you still putting in time at the piano at home, composing songs?
I bet you I have 25 songs lying in my trunk. They're new ones that I've written in the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, now, I haven't heard a new Hoagie Carmichael song in a long, long time. Now, are you not putting them on the market?
No, it isn't quite that, Tony. You know, the demand on records for music has not been particularly my type music. It's been music that the younger set like, you know, twist and rock and roll, and I just never put my time at writing those type of numbers. But I have hope that the new material will come back. I mean, we'll start hearing some new songs, good songs now, because actually, in all the albums they've made, they've practically overworked every standard song ever written in this country, and they're going to have some new material, and I may have a few pieces to supply that, too.
But you turn up all the time in the old songs in the albums of, say, Middlebrow Music, all the time.
Oh, yes, all my standards come in the albums, but I'd like to have a couple of new hits myself, you know.
Have you any idea how many times Stardust has been recorded?
Oh, they say something like 475 times. 475 different versions, that is, commercial, at least that many. It may be way higher than that now. Maybe 600.
Presumably the royalties from Stardust could keep you at least in cigarettes for the rest of your life.
Well, actually, with the family, I could keep a family very well on the royalties of that one song alone.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. But that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. Beside a garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale. Paradise where roses grow. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain. My stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
The so-called jazz age was not really an age at all. It was more a musical underground that gradually gained favor. It was a sound that emerged in the 20s. A revolution in musical taste touched off by the First World War. And some 20 years later, another war would bring another revolution and make the days of swing and Dixieland dance bands seem antique. But the jazzmen of the 20s were young pioneers who made the rounds of dance halls, college proms, speakeasies, and jam sessions in out-of-the-way places. Hoagy was part of that movement. While a student at the University of Indiana, he had a dance band, and he was able to invite his idol, the famous young man with a horn, Bix Beiderbecke, to the campus. They were close friends until Bix died in 1931. The association also brought Hoagy into contact with Jack Teagarden, Jimmy and Tommy Dorsey, Gene Krupa, and Benny Goodman. And once he got started as a songwriter, Hoagy was able to group these fellows to record his music. But getting started in music was a problem for Hoagy. He wasn't sure if that was what he really wanted.
I convinced myself that I should be a businessman and that music was not the proper way to become a rich man. And I think my family had a little bit to do with that, too. So when I graduated from law in Indiana University, I left my band, came through New York to visit some people, and the Mills Music Company asked me to stay, and they'd give me a little money each week to be a sort of a staff writer of songs. Well, I don't think anybody was ever offered that kind of a proposition before, but I turned it down. And here were these millions of people wanting to get songs published and wanting to be a songwriter, and here I am sloughing it off like a fool. And I went to Florida, and I tried to practice or become a lawyer in a period of 9 months. All of a sudden, through my window of my office, I heard a record being played across the street in the record shop, and it sounded familiar. I mean, the music did. And I ran across the street, and there was a record of Red Nichols had made of my Washboard Blues, and it was a tremendous record, a wonderful thing. Well, to make a long story short, I packed up my books and things, and I came north and got back into the music business.
Well, and you've been there ever since.
Yeah.
You pretty well worked your way through college with music, though.
Yes, with my orchestras. I had an orchestra when I was in high school down there the last year to help put my way through high school. And so for 6 years of college, I had various type orchestras and made out very well, able to pay my expenses. I even hired the Wolverines to come down there and play one spring for 10 or 12 dances. Made a little commission off of that. That was the band that Bix Beiderbecke was in.
The band that Bix was in occasionally made recordings, now collector's items. One of particular interest dates from September 15, 1930, the recording of Georgia on My Mind, with the Dorseys, Goodman, Teagarden, Krupa, Joe Venuti on violin, Bix with his trumpet, and Hoagy as conductor vocalist.
Georgia on my mind, Georgia on my mind, Georgia, Georgia, just a song of you comes as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pine. Other arms reach out to me, other eyes smile tenderly. Still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. My Georgia, my Georgia, no peace I find. Just a little song keeps Georgia on my mind.
The appearance and the personality of Hoagy Carmichael belie the struggle, the tenacity, and the application necessary for success in the precarious, fickle world of popular music. Only if you imply there was a pushover will he tell you that it wasn't so.
So a lot of hard work, listening. I listened to every type of musician I could listen to, and I think one of the things that helped me was that I learned to what we called doodle in those years.
I don't know what you, whether you know what I mean,
yes,
by doodling. And so it activated my mind in taking a simple melody and embellishing it. So, like Bix Beiderbecke would play the cornet, I could sort of doodle and whistle the same type parts. Or like I'd imitate saxophone, trombone, imitate the cornet, like Bix. And I believe this actually whet my appetite and my mind to writing something besides just the same old stage thing that we had. As you know, My Riverboat Shuffle was considered a modern piece at one time, a jazz piece. Then came Washboard Blues, which was actually acclaimed as a very, very new modern type of blues thing. And if you analyze Stardust, you'll find that it's built on, the melody is built on arpeggi. You know, like you take a chord. Those are just, that's just doodling around. So, actually, instead of writing, well, that is an arpeggio, see?
The most successful one in the business.
Yeah. and most of the strains in, or the melody in the tune is built on arpeggio.
Well, were you a self-tutored musician?
No, I never studied music at all. I couldn't even put music on paper until 1928.
Well, where did the background of music come from? Was it a musical family?
My mother played, and she was played by ear. And then I found other people around town. There were two or three people in Bloomington, Indiana, who could play by ear and played very well. I listened to them constantly, and it gave me ideas and thoughts and gave me an inspiration to try to duplicate some of the things that they did. And the first thing you know, I was playing a little fine jazz piano in 1919 and 20. I was playing the new type jazz. Many people don't know that. They don't realize that I actually helped invent some of the jazz of the early 20s.
Do you think that most of the great jazz musicians, the guys who used to roam around America, were self-taught men?
Yes, I think most of them were. A few lessons. Bix took a few little lessons, few piano lessons, and I might have taken a few cornet lessons, but I don't think many. Frank Trombar, I don't think he took any lessons, studied particularly. He learned to read finally, and so did Bix to an extent. As I look back upon these boys, I don't visualize any of them ever really sitting down and reading music until they had to when they got with the big bands like Golquette and Whiteman. People like that, then they had to read. I think the Dorsey boys studied for a little bit, took lessons.
What about Bix Beiderbecke? Do you think that he was the giant that he has become by legend?
He was then. He'd make every musician flip his lid when he'd play a chorus. I don't care what chorus or anything he played. Like you have the screaming girls, you know, and they listen to this stuff in the last decade. Well, we guys didn't scream, but we felt the same way. He was that good.
Colleagues from those early days of jazz will tell you that Hoagy was good, too. He had a keen ear, an innate sense of rhythm, in addition to the ability to create an original, durable melody.
Up the lazy river by the old mill run, that lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree. Blow away your troubles, dream a dream with me. Up the lazy river where the robin's song awakes a bright new morning, you can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up that lazy river, how happy you can be. Up that lazy river with me.
What about that part of your career as an entertainer, as a performer? Was this something that gradually crept up on you?
Yes, and unintentional. As I was writing songs in the early 30s, I was one of the few songwriters who could also sing the song, like Johnny Mercer could, too. And as a result of that, I was invited to perform on radio and do my songs on radio, and maybe some other songs that weren't mine. And that all just sort of built along until finally a friend of mine asked me to play in a movie, To Have and Have Not. So that turned out rather successful. And then invited into another movie, and another one, and another one. And as television came along, I was one of the first to go into television, do little bits here and there. Finally had my own television show. And in the meantime, I had been asked to do personal appearances on stage. I went to London, appeared at the Palladium, appeared in many hotel rooms in this country, and Chicago Theater, and Las Vegas. It just all just seemed to work up to that, and I had no intention of doing it. I didn't really need to do it. I might have better spent my time just composing songs. But I finally got a kick out of being that close to the public and doing some things that they appreciated.
Just about the most appreciated Carmichael song among Carmichael enthusiasts is the one that nobody else except Hoagy can really do justice.
It's the story of a very unfortunate colored man who got arrested down in old Hong Kong. He got 20 years privilege taken away from him when he kicked old Buddha's gong. And now he's bobbing the piano just to raise the price of a ticket to the land of the free. Well, he say his home's in Frisco where they send the rice, but it's really in Tennessee. That's why he said, I need someone to love me, need somebody to carry me home to San Francisco and bury my body there. Oh, I need someone to lend me a $50 bill and then I'll leave Hong Kong far behind me for happiness once again. Won't someone believe I begin to see that bay again? But when I try to leave, sweet opium won't let me fly away. I need someone to love me, need somebody to carry me home to San Francisco and bury my body there. A very unfortunate colored man who got arrested down in old Hong Kong. He got 20 years privilege taken away from him when he kicked old Buddha's gong.
Hoagy, you're such a relaxed person, so easygoing. One gets the impression that all these talents have been just given to you and that life has been no problem, no hard work. That can't be the case.
That cannot be the case. It takes a lot of hard work and effort to become a songwriter. You have to write a lot of tunes before you find a good one. As I told you before, Tony, I had a new thought about music, the new jazz, and it led me into writing things that nobody else has ever written. And what else makes a hit? Something original. So I was writing original type melodies. And that's why they were hits, and I did not have to write as many tunes to get a hit as many other people who probably didn't have that early background of jazz that I had. And the ability to improvise, that goes a long way in becoming an original songwriter. Also, you speak of me as being relaxed. Actually, I've never been in my life. I've always been an eager beaver, running to get this accomplished, running to get that accomplished. On the stage, I am a relaxed character, but I portray that, and it's been successful. On the stage, I never try to perform like a gangbuster, because I don't think that is good show business except for certain type people. Snozzle Durante, yes. A few others I can name. But for someone like me to come out and try to knock people over the head with my tunes, no. It's better for them to sit back and be as relaxed as I and just listen. And if they like it, okay. If they don't, okay.
Hoagy, many of us believe that America has produced the best popular music in the world, the songs of you and a whole host of other people. Now, something has happened to the music business. Is it in the hands of the hucksters and the merchandisers? Why no good Hoagy Carmichael songs anymore?
Well, that's kind of hard to answer. Maybe they think that I don't write much anymore. I do, though. I've got songs lying around in the trunk, so to speak. But the rock and roll did put a crimp in the style of all of us songwriters, because we were not writing rock and roll. Rock and roll, in my opinion, is mostly just the same old blues melody done in a different tempo with some shaggy words of some sort, and that's not my forte. I wouldn't want to write that kind of stuff. Or the western type of rock and roll was the same thing, some old bluesy thing with a little western twang to it, and to me that is not good writing. But that's what the public wanted, meaning the teenagers. It wasn't the adults that wanted, but the adults didn't go into the stores to buy music. They sent they gave the money to their children to go buy records. So the adults kept complaining about this rock and roll, and where's some good old-time music? But it's their fault, because there was no demand for good old-time music, because they didn't go down to buy it or ask for it. So this went on for a good many years. Now it's changing. Actually, it's fortunate that the recording companies started making albums, because they used all the standards. Otherwise, we'd have had nothing to listen to. Now, even that has changed. They're getting back to recording more good original songs, and I'm happy for that. I haven't had any good one recorded recently, but I'm still hopeful. It's a strange thing, Tony, if people don't even call me to ask me if I've got a good song to record. I'm not sure about this, but I think the record companies and even some of the artists who sing these melodies have become a little bit greedy. They want to own the copyright themselves. I've heard of in the past of some artists even wanting to put their name on the song as part writer and things like that. The business is so good, Tony, that they don't really need me, I guess. But I would think that once in a while they would come to me and say, have you got a real good song for such and such an artist? But they don't.
It's ironic. This must be one of the strangest episodes in the history of music, where the world's best writers of popular songs have been shoved aside.
That's right. They don't need us. And Johnny Mercer will tell you the same thing. Johnny Mercer didn't have a hit for a good many years, several years. Didn't have a song, a good new song on record. Of course, if Broadway had a hit show, some hit songs from Broadway, those would be recorded. But that's about all we got.
You think that the merchandisers have wrapped the business up?
They certainly have, in my opinion.
And it's an opinion shared by most other songwriters and composers. Behind the good-natured, ambling image of Hoagy Carmichael is a shrewd and clever musician. His first successful song was written 40 years ago, Riverboat Shuffle, in 1924, followed by a long string of songs. Ask him to look over the list and evaluate the selection, and he'll simply shake his head.
I never judge one of my songs over another, because they're all different type. Little Old Lady's different from Stardust. Rockin' Chair is different from Giorgio On My Mind. I mean, they're all sort of in the Nearness of You. How can I say I like it better than Stardust? How can I say I like Stardust better than the Nearness of You? Actually, the Nearness of You is doing almost as well as Stardust right now, as for the past 5 or 6 years.
Let's end the program with my favorite piece of material from Hoagy Carmichael, the old music master.
Oh, you like that, huh?
I love that piece.
Well, that's one that Johnny Mercer and I wrote together. I liked it, too. Funny thing, Johnny had that tune and my Skylark tune on his desk for 6 months. And I thought, well, Johnny just doesn't want to write any lyrics. All of a sudden, he called me on the telephone, and he sang both of them on the telephone. He wrote them both the same day or two, and I was elated. I like both songs, too, very much.
One night long ago, by the light of the moon, an old music master sat composing a tune. His spirit was soaring and his heart full of joy, when right out of nowhere stepped a little colored boy. You gotta jump it, music master. You gotta play that rhythm faster. You're never gonna get it played on the Happy Cat Hit Parade. You better tell your friend Beethoven and Mr. Reginald DeKoven. They gotta do the same as you, or they're gonna be corny too. Along about 1917, jazz will come upon the scene. Then about 1935, you begin to hear swing, boogie, woogie, and jive. You better tell a big broadcaster that you're a solid music master, and you'll achieve posterity. That's a bit of advice from me. The old music master simply sat there amazed, as wide-eyed and open-mouthed he gazed and he gazed. How can you be certain, little boy, tell me how? Because I was born, he said, 100 years from now. He hit a chord that rocked the spinet and disappeared into the infinite. And up until the present day, you can take it from me, he's as right as can be. Everything is happening that way. Jazz will come upon a scene. And then about 1935, you begin to hear swing, boogie, woogie, and jive. You hit a chord that rocked the spinet and disappeared into the infinite. And up until the present day, you could take it from me, he's as right as can be. Everything is happening that way, yeah.
Well, that was just a wonderful interview, and I learned so much about the man and can appreciate so much of what he's done in his life. Now, let's begin our musical presentation with Georgia on My Mind from 1930.
Thank you.
To show you the versatility of Hoagy, here is a tune called Old Buttermilk Sky from Canyon Passage. It's a great little catchy Western tune that's been recorded by many Western artists. Old Buttermilk Sky.
Old Buttermilk Sky, I'm keeping my eye peeled on you. What's a good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, Buttermilk Sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you. Oh, Buttermilk Sky, I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight, keep brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, Buttermilk Sky, don't you feel me when I'm needing you most? Hang a moon above her hitching post, hitch me to the one I love. Buttermilk Sky, I'm gonna keep my eye peeled on you. What's a good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, Buttermilk Sky, can't you see my little donkey and me? We're as happy as a Christmas tree, heading for the one I love. I'm gonna pop her the question, that question. Do you, darling, do you do? It'll be easy, so easy, if I can only bank on you. Oh, Buttermilk Sky, I'm telling you why, now you know. Keep it in mind tonight, keep brushing those clouds from sight. Oh, Buttermilk Sky, don't you fail me when I need you most. Hang a moon above her hitching post, hitch me to the one I love.
Our next song has been recorded by many artists. It's from 1930, Lazy River.
Where the old mill run meets lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree. Throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me. Up a lazy river where the robin's song awakes a bright new morning, we can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up a lazy river, how happy you can be. Up a lazy river with me. Thank you.
Well, how about a song from 1946? It ain't gonna be like that.
You better button your lip, you better watch what you do, 'cause the days of your miserable ways are through. Laying down the law to a man like me and trying to show the fishes how to go to sea. Well, it ain't gonna be like that. No, it ain't gonna be like that. If you think that you can wind me round your finger, best get your coat and hat, 'cause it ain't gonna be like that. It ain't gonna be that way. No, it ain't gonna be that way. If you think that you can put me through the ringer, there be the devil to pay, 'cause it ain't gonna be that way. Now there ain't no gal in the whole wide world who could ever be my boss. Better take it slow or I'm gonna throw you for a total loss. Gonna be no welcome mat, 'cause it ain't gonna be like that. If you're gonna bring me down, then please don't linger, baby, I'm standing pat, 'cause it ain't gonna be like that. You better watch what you do, 'cause the days of your miserable ways are through. Laying down the law to a man like me and trying to show the fishes how to go to sea.
It ain't gonna be like that. Ain't gonna be like that. If you think you can wind me round your finger, best get your coat and your hat, 'cause it ain't gonna be like that. It ain't gonna be that way. Ain't gonna be that way. If you think you can put me through the ringer, there'll be the devil to pay, 'cause it ain't gonna be that way.
Now there ain't no gal in the whole wide world who could ever be my boss. Better take it slow or I'm gonna throw you for a total loss. Gonna be no welcome man, 'cause it ain't gonna be like that. If you're gonna bring me down, then please don't linger, baby, I'm standing pat, 'cause it ain't gonna be like that.
Well, here's a nice little tune from 1932 called After 12 O'Clock.
Just as you used to do. After 12 o'clock, you hold my hand, then we steal away through Wonderland. Without a word, you adore me, just as you used to do. Each night you bring me your lovely charms again, and oh, how real they seem. I long to cradle you in my arms again, even though you're only a dream. I hold you after 12 o'clock. You whisper this, I belong to you, and then we kiss. Each night you take me to heaven, just as you used to do.
Next song is from 1945, Ginger and Spice.
Ginger and Spice, both are so nice. Ginger's a cutie, Spice is a beauty. I can't make my mind up, tell me who should it be. Which little she's better for me. Ginger and Spice, both are so nice. But if I choose one, I'm bound to lose one. So why marry either and be peppered with rice when I can have Ginger and Spice? I got trouble, double trouble, my heart's in a spot. I'm in between two de-icers, two pretty paradisers. My, 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 wonder what the end will be. I got trouble, double trouble, I'm worried a lot. Two little crows and sloppy joes have tied my heart in a knot. Ginger and Spice, I must think twice. Both are tamales, two Latin dollies. I might wind up crazy, brother, what can I do? I'm in a stew, divided by two.
Ginger and Spice, he needs advice. If he should quick guess, he'll be one chick less.
So why marry either and be peppered with rice when I can have Ginger? Yes, I can have Ginger when I can have both Ginger and Spice.
Our last song today will be performed by Glenn Miller and his orchestra, sung by Ned Washington. It's one of my favorites. I started the program with it. I'm going to end the program with it. The Nearness of You from 1940.
Thank you. not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. When you're in my arms and I feel you so close to me, all my wildest dreams come true. I need no soft lights to enchant me, if you'll only grant me the right to hold you ever so tight and to feel in the night